With the recent news of certain movements teaching false doctrine and promoting unhealthy practices, we tend to want to just sit down in our chairs and pout. But as gospel-centered disciples who struggle yet persevere, what should the appropriate response be? That's today on Grace and Truth. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm a grateful gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. I hope and pray that you're doing well. Today's podcast, entitled Gospel-Centered Problem Solving, was broadcasted live on Facebook on February 23rd, 2020. Let's take a listen. There's been a lot of stuff going on in today's culture, especially in the church. You've probably noticed on social media that there has been a lot of criticism on movements like Bethel and Elevation and Hillsong. And mainly it's because their theology seems to be contrast to what the gospel teaches. If you want more details on what I'm talking about, I would encourage you to reach out to me and I'll give you the details on what I've been seeing from ministry leaders like Paul Washer and James White and Apologia and all those other ministries. I can give you more details on all that. Now, some people have been having this mentality of, wow, if they're going to start acting like this with their theology, I don't think I want to sing their songs. Well, it's quite understandable, and a lot of churches, oddly enough, that are gospel-centered are even going further as to saying we're not going to use their songs anymore because we don't support their organization. Some of you may be thinking, why would you do that? Why would they do that? Well, I can understand why they would. Now, let me explain to you how it works. I used to be a media director at a small little church in San Leandro, and the songs that we would sing in the church, you have to remember, there's this thing called CCLI licensing. You see, we can't sing those songs unless in a church setting like that, unless we get consent from that organization, which basically gives us the permission to sing those songs. And those songs and that organization basically, as far as I know, pays those artists. So it's quite understandable why churches have been starting to make an effort to refrain from singing certain songs in their churches. And I can tell you from experience that I had to make sure that the CCLI number was on the slides when I used to do the music slides for the church that I used to work at. Now, in recognition of this, I recognize that there are some people who aren't happy about that. Well, I don't blame you. But unfortunately, when it comes to their theology, I have to be in agreement with my gospel-centered brethren. Now, my multi-church Bible study, we don't even sing songs in our Bible study, but we study the Word together. And I am aware, of course, that the church that I'm a part of, including my previous church, and even my church home away from home, Three Crosses, VCC, and even Calvary Monterey, I understand completely that they're going to sing songs from Bethel, from Hillsong, and from Elevation, whether I like it or not. And that's their prerogative. They can do what they want. They run their church the way they want to. I'm not going to argue with them on that. But what am I going to do about it? Because of the fact that I don't support Bethel, Hillsong, or Elevation. Well, you probably guessed it. Find a solution to the problem. Because my convictions are different than other people's convictions. Now, the distinction between me having a conviction and telling somebody, you can't do this, you can't do that, is because I am choosing not to do something because I believe it is wrong. That's very different than saying, I believe this is wrong, therefore you need to stop doing that. That doesn't make sense, and that's not going to be beneficial for the kingdom of heaven. So, Here's what I'm doing. You've probably heard me mention several examples of how I have been learning how to turn solutions, how I've been learning how to see the problem and find a solution to the problem. When it comes to music from Bethel, Hillsong, and Elevation, what is the solution that I have? Well, if the songs are indeed biblical, I'll sing some because I found that some of their songs are actually very rich in doctrine, despite the fact that their organizations have been teaching heresy all this time. But that doesn't mean that I get to sing their songs on an everyday basis. You see, one thing most people don't realize is that worship is not something that you only do on Sundays. Worship is something that you do every single day, 24/7. Now, what does that mean, basically? Well, I listen to worship music all the time in my car, and I sing worship music to the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And with what I've heard in the news, what is my solution? Even if the churches that I'm a part of sing those songs on Sundays, that doesn't mean I have to sing them in my car. I actually have deleted a lot of songs from Bethel, Hillsong, and Elevation because when I'm personally worshiping the Lord in my car or when I'm out and about listening to the music and singing those words to the Lord, I don't need to keep them on my phone because the more I play them, the more those organizations are being encouraged. I have to stand my ground. We can sing them on Sundays, but I'm not going to sing them on other days of the week, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday. I can listen to different worship songs during the week, and that's the best solution I can think of. What are some examples of healthy, gospel-centered worship? Well, there's the hymns, oddly enough, but if you want to go even more, a little bit more modern, the ones that I have found to be very, very rich are the songs of my friend and brother Dennis Jernigan, some songs from the late Rich Mullins, and there are also some great, authentic, gospel-centered songs from artists like Keith and Kristen Getty and Sovereign Grace Music. Sovereign Grace Music, despite the fact that they are technically charismatic Calvinists, they have songs full of rich lyrics, and they also are more modern in sound. But their lyrics are so, so profound. And, you know, one of my favorite songs from Sovereign Grace Music as of recently is a song called Jesus Thank You. And you'll see why I like the lyrics of these songs. I'm just going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to read the chorus. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Now, there are some other good songs out there, but yeah, that is my solution to the problem. Rather than argue with people about Bethel or Hillsong or Elevation, and rather than just saying, I'm not worshiping to this, I won't stand up and worship. Rather, I'll be like this. Okay, my church is going to sing their songs. Unless it's Reckless Love, which I'm not singing, I'm going to replace, I would replace the word reckless with wondrous if that were to ever happen, which it does at times. Rather than that, I'm just going to sing these songs on Sunday, but then during the rest of my week, I'm sticking with Sovereign Grace music, Dennis Jernigan, the Gettys, Rich Mullins, etc. Because I can worship the Lord on different days of the week other than just Sundays. In fact, actually, I should. So that's my two cents on that. And so that's a solution to the problem. And you've heard me mention other solutions to other problems, like, for example, reckless love. I mentioned that to you earlier and on a previous broadcast. If the church sings reckless love, all I have to do is just replace the word reckless with the word wondrous. And then I sing, oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, wondrous love of God. It's as plain as simple as that. Or when at Celebrate Recovery, when we do our lessons, when they use paraphrases, guess what I do? I grab my Celebrate Recovery Bible and read the passages that they're reading from in the NIV internally. Because number one, the NIV was the translation that I grew up with, and that's how I first learned to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. And number two, the NIV is a little bit closer, not exactly as close as the NASB or the ESV, but it's decent enough because it's not a paraphrase, but rather a dynamic equivalence. Of course, for outreach or for corporate worship, I'll use ESV. For in-depth Bible study, NASB. But for Celebrate Recovery, NIV. So yeah, I understand, however, that some of you who are my fellow Calvinists will be thinking, Dave, come on, I'm not going to try to do certain solutions to the problem. Let me tell you something. I want to encourage you not to be a theological couch potato. One of the things that we need to be careful about, I'm talking to my fellow Calvinists here, one of the things we need to be careful on is becoming hyper-Calvinists. I have friends who are hyper-Calvinists. I avoid being around them on a number of levels, mainly because there's no fruit when I see them act like theological couch potatoes. We are called to get out there and proclaim the gospel. And that is one of the reasons why, even though I am a Reformed Baptist, I have found that friends of mine from non-Reformed churches, like, for example, Three Crosses, because they were originally affiliated with the Alliance. They're non-denom now, but they do have some involvement when it comes to their missions. The Alliance, the Christian Missionary Alliance, I saw a lot of fruit in their movement when it came to outreach and evangelism. Calvary Chapel, my church home away from home in Monterey, Calvary Monterey, it's a Calvary Chapel. And although I do not agree with them on the issue of church boards, I am a proponent of church boards. I do agree with them when it comes to their approach on applicable expositional verse-by-verse teaching. And I have found their teaching to be of more substance and more fruitful. Additionally, I also agree with them on the issue of membership. I don't believe in church membership. I believe that it doesn't matter where you are. What matters is who you're with. But again, that's another subject. So I want to encourage you guys with this. Rather than just pout and sit your butt down and not do anything when something's going on in your church, find a solution to the problem. Find a gospel-centered alternative that will bring you closer to the Lord. Because if you're going to gripe about what's going on in the churches, you're not helping yourself. Because the Bible tells us not to gripe about anything, technically, especially what's going on in this world. God told us that in this world, we will have trouble. But Jesus has overcome the world. In addition to that, Paul made it clear in Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Here it is. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. If we are going to stand for what we believe in, especially when our churches start to go down a direction that we're not okay with, we need to stop griping and find a solution to the problem and ask God to help us find a solution to the problem. My dad gave me this thing. It was a poster. I forgot where it went, but it was kind of a meme. It showed this gargoyle statue looking like, whatever. Pretty negative. And it said, a negative person has a problem with every solution. And in the picture below, it shows this guy jumping up in the air with the sun behind him. And it said, a positive person has a solution for every problem. So I want to encourage you guys with this. If your church is taking a direction that is not in compliance with the dictates of Scripture, and you are committed to that church and want to help the church get back on the right track, rather than pouting about what's going on in your church and just say, no, it's not going to work, find a solution to the problem. Like, I don't like that idea. I'd like to think of a better solution. So let's do it. Don't procrastinate. Just do it. Let's pray. Father God, Adonai, we thank you that you are still with us. Thank you for teaching me the importance of finding solutions to the problems of this life that we live in, especially today. Father, I ask that if there's somebody watching tonight who feels as if they've lost hope and don't know what to do, would you just give them the strength, and would you give them the necessary resources to find a solution to the problem? Father, protect us from any form of griping and any form of bitterness, that rather we find a solution that is ultimately in line with your gospel. Thank you for today, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that's it for this season of Grace and Truth. We're going to take a break for the summer. We'll be back in the fall for a brand new season of the podcasts. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to hear more of these programs, please let me know. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, click here to watch my testimony. Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!